Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Ooh, what a day. I've gotten some emails from people that are very insightful, and I'm going to share some of them with you as to the actions taken today by the Fed, by the Department of the Treasury, by everybody, by the Congress, although the Congress hasn't really done anything yet, but apparently it's going to happen. We're involved here in a kind of socialism. You could call it national socialism, if you were so inclined to use a term from the 30s, national socialism. The government used to be you and me. The government is not you and me any longer. The government is corporate America. So essentially, corporate America has stepped in to attempt to rescue itself, and in the process have ended whatever distinctions there were between governance and the marketplace. That's gone. There is no point kidding ourselves about this. With the actions taken by the country's financial managers in the past couple, 3 days, we have something. We have a system of government, an economic system, about to be put in place that is unlike anything that has ever existed in this country. And the really crazy part is maybe 5 or 10% of the American public understands what has happened. I've only come to understand it because I've gotten a lot of emails from a lot of people today with explanations. Plus, I've done some checking on the internet, traveled around the web today, reading stuff from Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, to the British press, to whatever I could get my hands on, The Nation, anything and everything, because I want to understand what is happening, since our system has in the past week seen a complete metamorphosis. It is not what it was a week ago. And odds of its coming back to what it was a week ago are practically zero. Now, a cynic would say this is the payoff. This is the final chapter of what Reaganomics was about 20 years ago. Kill the beast, starve the beast being government. You can look at it that way. You can look at it another way, that it was a takeover by corporate America, and with some help from not just the American corporate types, but from types around the planet who saw the U.S. economy, domestic types and foreign types, who saw the U.S. economy as just needing to be plucked, needing to be eaten. And it's now been plucked. It's now been eaten. Prairie 2 writes, Mike, today the Fed has decided we can afford to insure $3.5 trillion worth of money market funds. They also want to hand $1 trillion to the Wall Street banks and other companies to take bad paper off their hands. And that's just today. They'll have to issue a couple of $1 trillion in new bonds to pay for this week's nonsense alone. How are they going to do this? China has about had it with the worthless paper. Talk is that the Chinese intend to sell off part of the three. Or I'm sorry. Talk is that our financial wizards intend to sell off part of the $3.5 trillion in gold reserves. What else can they do? You'll know that our time has run out when the container ships stop coming from China. They aren't buying us very much time either, because they aren't even talking about the mad elephant in the room, and I don't mean John McCain. I'm referring to those credit derivatives they keep trying not to talk about, the ones that nobody claims to understand. They understand them well enough, they just don't want to talk about them. They didn't exist until McCain and the Republicans took away all the regulations that kept American companies out of Ponzi schemes like this. Worldwide estimates are that there are between $700 trillion and $1 quadrillion in unregulated markets. When the derivative market collapses, it will suck all the money out of the world economy so fast it will make your ears pop. A liquidity crisis, that is, a lack of money in circulation, is what defines the Great Depression crash. This collapse, the derivative markets, will produce the biggest liquidity crisis since the Huns sacked Rome. The October surprise will be if we get through October. And then there's November and December and January with Bush, the Hun, still in charge. I had forgotten all about the derivative, credit derivative market. I don't understand, and don't email me and tell me what it is, anybody, because my head is hurting. I've just been able, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but what the hell, I've just been able today to understand what selling short means, what the short market is about, because the short sellers are the ones who help fuel the panic that has resulted in the total collapse of this economy. If you listen very closely, you can hear it. You can hear the rumble. The stuff that was done today, forget the stock market churning like it has. I think the stock market wound up the week 34 points up or 34 points down after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of points up and down all week. This churning in the market, it is nothing other than the big money players trying to find some way to protect themselves against what's about to happen. Irish Dave says, let's review. Big banks and investment companies are rescued by the national government with taxpayer funds, thereby socializing their losses. Short label for this? National socialism. Might sound more macho in German. From Chuck. In April 1999, Rebecca Horton wrote this paper entitled The Sociopath, and he's got three sentences from it. Sociopaths have always existed in various form and to various degrees. They have been known by various titles. They have been studied using various techniques, and through the years, their ailment has been blamed on various causes. But one thing never varies. All sociopaths share three common characteristics. They are all very egocentric individuals, no empathy for others, and they're incapable of feeling remorse or guilt. End quote. Chuck writes then, free market capitalism without regulation is like ego without conscience. Isn't this a key element of sociopathology? Sounds like it, Chuck. Sounds like it to me. I don't know. What I want to ask you about tonight, right away, we have some sound for you tonight. Insane McCain was out there today blaming Barack Obama for the current economic crisis. Jesus H. Christ. This is how empty McCain and his campaign is. He's trying to blame Barack Obama for the economic crisis. In the meantime, that was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Meantime, Obama held an actual press conference about the economy in Coral Gables, Florida today. And we are going to play for you in juxtaposition, we've got four sound bites right now. First McCain, then Obama, then McCain, then Obama, and then you tell me which one is mad out of his goddamn mind and which one is trying to find some solutions. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Yeah, making all those executive decisions almost wore me out, you see. I've been your master and lord, and this is my reward for all that responsibility. Retirement, I'll try it. I'll slip away real quiet. I ain't looking for no horn to toot. If it's fair for GE, honey, it's fair for me. Give me my golden parachute. Yeah, if it's fair for AT&T, then honey, it's fair for me to get this big old golden parachute.
Money grow, you know it compounds over time, which means money grows and grows bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that's what it means, George. Oh! What a dumbass. What an unbelievable dumbass. Oh, well, his dumbassery has really got us in the in a situation here, right? Now, the New York Times is reporting, I think it is it for tomorrow's issue? I think it's tomorrow's issue. What's the date today? Is this the 19th? Yeah, I guess it's tomorrow's issue. About this meeting that the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, had with the congressional leaders, all Democrats. Apparently, the Republicans chose not to show up. It was a room full of people. And apparently Bernanke laid out the devastating reality of what was about to happen in front of these congressional leaders last night. And according to the New York Times, there was a stunned silence. According to the Times, Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson had made an urgent and unusual evening visit to Capitol Hill. And they were gathered around a conference table in Pelosi's office. Charles Schumer, Democrat in New York, said, quote, when you listen to him describe it, you gulped, end quote. Christopher Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, chairman of the Banking, Housing, Urban Affairs Committee, put it Friday morning on the ABC program Good Morning America, quote, the congressional leaders were told that we're literally maybe days away from a complete meltdown of our financial system with all the implications here at home and globally, end quote. Schumer added, quote, history was sort of hanging over it like this was a moment, end quote. When Schumer described the meeting as somber, Christopher Dodd said, quote, somber doesn't begin to justify the words. We have never heard language like this, end quote. And Dodd added, quote, what you heard last evening is one of those rare moments, certainly rare in my experience here, Democrats and Republicans deciding we need to work together quickly, end quote. Well, how did that happen? Weren't the Republicans notified by telephone? I believe that's what happened. Schumer, Dodd, and other participants declined to repeat precisely what they were told by Bernanke and Paulson. But Bernanke and Paulson apparently described the financial system as effectively bound in a knot that was being pulled tighter and tighter by the day. Schumer said, quote, you have the credit lines in America, which are the lifeblood of the economy, frozen. That hasn't happened before. It's a brave new world. You are in uncharted territory. But the one thing you do know is you can't leave them frozen or the economy would just head south at a rapid rate, end quote. I'm having a hell of a time getting the big picture. And I know a lot of people who do or do not listen to this program are in the same fix. I mean, we're trying to understand this. How can an economy, a multi-trillion dollar economy like ours, all of a sudden find itself in this situation? Has someone stolen trillions of dollars? What happened? Now, you can find out what happened, and I'm not going to take time to on this program, because it would drive you nuts, to read to you, because I'd have to read to you, all the explanations for what happened. You can find it yourself. You really can. But so few of us understand this. Most of us are walking around here going, well, gas is high. Oh, damn, fuel oil's high. Well, food's up. What? I've got a 780 credit score and I can't get a new car financed unless I pay 9%. What's up with that? You know, all of a sudden this is starting to hit people in those little ways. What are you talking about? I can't. What? The value of my house is down 20 G's? When did that happen? You know, over and over. What? My interest rate has been reset? Why? Why now? What? Stop the average person on the street, and I put myself in this group. Stop the average person on the street and say, give me a quick explanation of why Chinese ownership of U.S. debt is critical right now. And how did the Chinese wind up owing so much of our debt? You stop the average person, including Mike Malloy on the street, and we are hard-pressed to come up with an answer, if we could come up at all. I might be able to cobble together a few sentences that might be grammatically correct but make no sense, so the person walking away would say, Malloy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, which is true, which is absolutely true. I don't get it. I mean, I do, but I don't. You understand? Maybe you feel the same way. You know, we're told that money market funds, the one safe place, oh my God, money market funds, what could go wrong? That trillions of dollars are going to have to be flooded into that. Why? I mean, it just goes on and on. What the hell happened? More importantly, and I think this is critical, we need to find out who did this and then kill them. I mean, very simply, just find out who did it. And shoot them dead and throw their bodies in the nearest body of water where fish and snakes and frogs will eat them.
Well, Mike, thanks for asking. It was Barack Obama, and I'll be happy to get a helicopter and a hunting rifle and take him down from
there. Okay, we'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
And now we have to move from there. They're clamoring for more than a dollar a day from Malaysia to Mexico.
About anything here in Washington, D.C.
It is 25 before the hour. So the members of Congress who got the grim word last night from Bernanke and Henry Paulson were just shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Credit lines in America frozen, no money anywhere. And what they're doing now, of course, and they're doing this, I guess, in other markets too, they're printing money. That always works, huh? The Times goes on to say, as officials at the Treasury Department raced on Friday today to draft legislative language for an ambitious plan for the government to buy billions of dollars of illiquid debt from ailing American financial institutions, legislators on Capitol Hill said they plan to work through the weekend, reviewing the proposal and making efforts to bring a package of measures to the floor of the House and Senate by the end of next week. Lawmakers in both parties described the meeting in Ms. Pelosi's office last night as collaborative and that they were prepared to put aside politics to address the needs of the American people. Really? Did John McCain not get the memo? Son of a bitch! Put aside politics to address this crisis. Well, let's see how McCain did that today. Let's do some of this. Here's insane McCain in Green Bay, Wisconsin, today. Now, we know he's half eaten with cancer and he's suffering from PTSD from his bombing runs over North Vietnam, and, I was P.O. Bobby, but how crazy does G.I. John think we are? Does he think the public is actually going to believe Barack Obama is responsible for the current collapse of the economy? These sons of bitches, both Palin and McCain, this is incredible. It's like they have become possessed by the spirit of, I don't know who, Lee Atwater? Or Satan, or some demon from the 12th dimension who is just really toying with us. I don't know. But all of it is crazed. McCain is losing it every single day. He wants you to believe that Obama personally profited financially from the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae twin disasters. It's pathetic. It really is to hear this corrupt, sad old man try to blame Obama for everything simply because McCain is empty. McCain has nothing. McCain has a snake-handling religious freak on his ticket in order to satisfy the mouth-breathing Armageddonist base of his corrupt party. Nobody is going to help this poor bastard out. Nobody. McCain. Phil Graham. What did Phil Graham say a couple of weeks ago? Remember? We're a nation of whiners. Get over it. Shut up. Things aren't that bad. Remember that? Before the Republican convention? And McCain had to let him go? Well, you know, he was a featured guest, a special guest in McCain's private box or something at the Republican convention. We're whiners. The whole goddamn economy is going up in flames. All of it. And Phil Graham, who has a job with a company based in Switzerland, says, actually, a bunch of whiners. And it was Graham who assisted and said, oh, but I digress. Okay, anyway, as he said over and over again, like me, John McCain doesn't really understand economic issues. Of course, I'm not trying to be president. But the proof of that is his comments earlier this week that he believed the economy was fundamentally in good shape. What economy, you crazy psycho bastard? What economy? The National Socialism we now have today that we didn't have 36 hours ago? Is that what you're talking about?
China's economy is in pretty good shape.
Listen to these maniacal ravings from today.
The financial crisis that we're living through today started with the corruption and manipulation of our home mortgage system.
No.
The center of the problem were the lobbyists, politicians, and bureaucrats who succeeded in persuading Congress and the administration to ignore the festering problems at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. 2 years ago, I called for reform of this corruption at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Congress did nothing. The administration did nothing. Senator Obama did nothing. And actually profited from this system of abuse and scandal.
Oh, while for Fannie and Christ's Freddie sake.
Were working to keep Congress away from their house of cards, Senator Obama was taking their money. He got more, in fact, than any other member of Congress, except for the Democratic chairman of the committee that oversees him. And while Fannie Mae was betraying the public trust, somehow its former CEO had managed to gain my opponent's trust to the point where Senator Obama actually put him in charge of his vice presidential search.
Well, there you go, then. God damn! What more proof do you want? That makes Obama responsible for everything. The current housing crisis, the laws that were gutted back in the 90s by the Republicans and signed off on by Bill Clinton, the thieving, sneaking, slimy bastards who have ruined us, of course, it's the black guy's fault. Speaking of him, compare and contrast the ravings of insane McCain with his, when all else fails, blame Barack, economic plan, with actual plans and solutions offered in rational, articulate terms by Senator Obama. Listen to this and then ask yourself, who would you rather have in the White House to tackle the disaster created by these Republican pigs?
In recent years, I've outlined plans that would have helped prevent the problems that we face. And yesterday I proposed the outlines of a plan that would establish a more stable and permanent solution to strengthen our financial system. First, we cannot only have a plan for Wall Street. We must also help Main Street. I'm glad that our government's moving so quickly in addressing the crisis that threatens some of our biggest banks and corporations, but a similar crisis has threatened families, workers, and homeowners for months and months, and Washington has done far too little to help. For too long, this administration's been willing to hit the fast-forward button in helping distressed Wall Street firms while pressing pause when it comes to saving jobs and keeping people in their homes. Now that American taxpayers are being called on to share this new burden, we must take equally swift and serious action to help lift the burdens they face every day. I urge Senator McCain, President Bush, Republicans, and Democrats to join me in supporting an emergency economic plan for working families, a plan that would help folks cope with rising gas and food prices, spark job creation through repair of our schools and our roads, help states and cities avoid painful budget cuts and tax increases, help homeowners stay in their homes, and provide retooling assistance for America's auto industry. John McCain and I can continue to argue about our different economic agendas for next year, but we should come together now to work on what this country urgently needs this year.
Don't hold your breath, Senator. McCain is blaming you personally for the collapse of everything. The baseless, blatant lies and attacks attempting to blame Obama for the devastation of the mortgage industry continues from Green Bay.
Another CEO for Fannie Mae, Mr. Raines, has been advising Senator Obama on housing policy.
Oh, no!
This even after Fannie Mae was found to have committed, quote, extensive financial fraud under his leadership.
Oh!
Like Mr. Johnson, Mr. Raines walked away, guess what? Tens of millions of dollars. Senator Obama may be taking their advice, and he may be taking their money. But I want to tell you, in a McCain-Palin administration, there will be no seat for these people at the policy-making table.
Yeah! Yeah!
My friends, this is the problem with Washington. People like Senator Obama have been gaming the system. And we've heard a lot of words from Senator Obama over the course of this campaign. But maybe just this once, he could spare us the lectures and admit to his own poor judgment in contributing to these problems. The crisis on Wall Street started in the Washington culture of lobbying and influence peddling, and he was right square in the middle of it.
You sick son of a bitch. You really are, McCain. You are just out of your mind. What did Obama do to contribute to the mortgage meltdown? I think when the laws were gutted that set this up, I think Obama was still in the Illinois Senate, or was he still an organizer? People like Senator Obama have been gaming the system. What? How? McCain is a psychopath. McCain is nuts. Back to Obama. Now listen, here's a candidate with an actual stated plan to get us out of the ditch, not just bullfeathers about reforming Washington regulators and pointless attacks on the opponent. Can you imagine? I ask you again, which person sounds better qualified to your ears?
The second principle I'd like to see in the emerging plan from the Treasury and the Fed is that our approach should be one of mutual responsibility and reciprocity. It must not be designed to reward particular companies or the irresponsible decisions of borrowers or lenders. It must not be designed to enhance the personal gain of CEOs and management. The recklessness of some of these executives has helped to cause this mess, even as they walked away with multi-million dollar golden parachutes while taxpayers are left holding the bag. As taxpayers are asked to take extraordinary steps to protect our financial system, it's only appropriate that those who benefit are expected to contribute to the protection of American homeowners and the American economy. Justice support is not designed to pay off egregious executive compensation. It should not reward those who are ruthlessly foreclosing on American families.
Oh, but now, Senator, are you sure that poor, miserable crowd of people in Coral Gables, Florida down there today when you said that? are understanding what you're saying. Wouldn't it be easier to just say something like, well, I was the head of the library board here in Wasilla, and I was the governor, too. And when we get to Washington, we're going to stop this.
The issue about solvency farther down the road than any other president.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. It's about 9 before the hour. Now, Mike in St. Paul reminds me, biggest flip-flop in American history. Does anyone remember 4 days ago when Mr. Harvard MBA himself, Mr. I will run the government like a CEO, Mr. Bush, didn't Bush say a few days ago no more bailouts? Yet here we are. Bush, they probably just, you know, gave him something shiny and tinkly and told him to go play with it. But here's Bush helping to usher in the biggest bailout in history. So, Mike writes, apart from the bitter irony of a guy who got, quote, elected, end quote, by calling Kerry a flip-flopper, engaging in the biggest flop in history. Apart from that irony, isn't this bailout thing just one big credit card transfer? I mean, Mike writes, America has a multi-trillion dollar deficit, so where we as a nation get the money for this trillion-dollar bailout? We will borrow it, of course. So, in effect, we're taking out another credit card to pay off bad debt from a previous credit card. I don't know if any of your listeners would agree, but we have been on the path to economic ruin for a long time now. I think the mess started with Reagan, who ballooned the deficit, and has been culminated by the neocons who have engaged in a $10 billion a month war without end while outsourcing America's middle class jobs. Want to know what's left? Seen the want ads lately? So what did they think would happen? Now, what he's referring to is 4 days ago, the 15th, Associated Press, the Bush administration signaled strongly on Monday that troubled Wall Street shouldn't expect more rescues from Washington. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson declared that the current turmoil in markets and financial institutions ultimately will, quote, make things better, end quote. Bush said, quote, adjustments in the financial markets can be painful, both for people concerned about their investments and for the employees of the affected firms. But in the long run, I'm confident that our capital markets are flexible and resilient and can deal with these adjustments, end quote. Paulson, this is Monday. Paulson, making a rare appearance before reporters in the White House briefing room, also sounded notes of optimism. He said, quote, what we are going through in the short term doesn't make anything easier, but in the long term, it's going to make things better because we've got excesses we need to work through, end quote. Paulson said he's taking Monday's stock tumble as a good sign. That was the 504-point drop. You remember that? Because the fall was less severe than expected and occurred in a relatively orderly way. Paulson said, I think we're making progress. Jesus God. This is just a pretty insane. I mean, is your head swimming? I know. So is mine. This is hard. Aren't you glad it's the weekend? Aren't you ready to just, I don't know, go watch a high school football game or kick back on Sunday with a couple of beers and your feet up and watch television or take the kids to the park or aren't you? Huh? Aren't you? I've had enough of these bastards. You know, it's like everybody, all of these thug bastards have decided that government isn't the problem after all, it's the solution. Huh? Have you noticed that? The next time you get into any kind of a discussion with any of these Republican vermin who are going to vote for McCain again, just push their face into it. Hey, pal, I thought you said government was the problem, not the solution. Then give me back my goddamn $5 trillion that the government is throwing at this crisis created by Republicans. I thought you said government was the problem. Now government is bailing out the entire financial industry in this country. All of it. I thought you said government was the problem. And it was the destruction of government starting in the mid-90s, starting in the 80s really, ballooning the federal deficit. From the entire history of our country up until Ronald Reagan took office, the national debt, not budget deficit, national debt, made it up to $1 trillion over 200 years. When Reagan left office, it was at $4 trillion. Did Reagan do that? No, hell no, Reagan didn't do that. Reagan was the little puppet. Reagan was the cute guy who just sat there with his brain half eaten up with all kinds of entanglements and crap from his Alzheimer's while the real manipulators went to work. So here we are. Here we are. Government's a problem. I think there needs to be some quick trials and some mass executions. Don't you? I mean, since China owns all of our money, all of our debt, why don't we adopt the Chinese model? You know these Chinese people who put poison into the baby formula? You know what's going to happen to them? You've got, 6,000-7,000 children now that are lined up because they may have kidney failure. You've got 5 or 6 dead children. And the possibility, the Chinese government is saying that every child who takes formula or drinks bottled milk should be tested for kidney damage. Do you understand how many children that would be? What do you think is going to happen? So far they've arrested, 7 or 8 people. If they're still alive, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to be a quick trial. Did you do this? Here's the evidence you did it. Take them out and back and shoot them. Because these 7 will have again. Now, you right-wingers, isn't that what you always say about the death penalty? Well, at least they won't do it again. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I just got this. Hi, Mike. I just came from a fundraiser for Obama here in Miami at the Biltmore Hotel. The campaign raised $5.5 million tonight. I feel very pleased and hopeful. Anyway, I'm sending you this email because one of the Republicans I work with forwarded this email to me this morning. I figure you would know if there's any truth to this. You can read below if you like. If you happen to mention this, please don't say the name of our company. Oh, no, I never use anything but first names, Monica, unless there's... Anyway, Monica sent me. It came from, Alex? Is that who it came from? On or about October 5th, Biden will excuse himself from the ticket, citing health problems, and he will be replaced by Hillary Clinton. This is time to occur with the vice presidential debate on October 2nd. There have been talks all weekend about how to proceed with this info. Generally, the feeling is that we should all go ahead and get it out there to as many blog sites and personal email lists as is possible. I've already seen a few short blurbs about this. The, quote, health problem, end quote, cited in those articles was aneurysm. Probably many of you have heard the same rumblings. Yeah, didn't he, Biden had, continuing. However, at this point, with this inside information from the DNC, it looks like this Obama strategy will be a go. Therefore, it seems that the best strategy is to get out in front of this Obama maneuver, spell it out in detail, and thereby expose it for the grand manipulation that it is. So let's start mixing this one up and cut the Obamaites off at the pass. Send this info out to as many people as you can. Post about it on websites and blogs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Just talking about it a week or 10 days before it happens. So what? What? Thanks, Monica. I mean, that's what the email seems to indicate. Now, anything that comes from a Republican, I take with a trainload of salt, so you can do the same, because all Republicans are liars. Every single Republican is a liar, and an ignorant liar to begin with. Now, maybe this person who sent the email has some information that is of interest. I think that would be incredibly interesting. As much as I have no use for anybody, either Bill or Hillary Clinton, wouldn't that be a hoot in hell if Biden did step down? Huh? A local candidate in Vermont, candidate for attorney general, has promised to charge and prosecute Bush for murder if she gets elected as that state's attorney general. Now, this is not county prosecutor. This is attorney general. The Associated Press reports that Charlotte Dennett, who's running on the Progressive Party ticket to be Vermont's attorney general, promised to appoint a special prosecutor to bring charges holding Bush accountable for the deaths of more than 4,000 troops in Iraq. Dennett, speaking at a press conference in Burlington, Vermont this week, said she would appoint Vince Bugliosi as a special prosecutor in the case. The this is what it says. A former Los Angeles City District Attorney who is in charge of the Manson murder case, Bugliosi has outlined his strategy against the president in his recent book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. Dennett said at a news conference with Bugliosi, according to the Associated Press, quote, someone has to step forward. Someone has to say we cannot put up with this lack of accountability anymore, end quote. Bugliosi said any state attorney general would have jurisdiction since Bush committed overt acts, including the military's recruitment of soldiers in Vermont and allegedly lying about the threat posed by former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein in speeches that were aired in Vermont and elsewhere. Bugliosi said no man, either the President of the United States, is above the law. Vermont's state Senate adopted a resolution to impeach Cheney, earning some mockery from the White House spokeswoman. And the President hasn't once visited Vermont, where plenty of residents loathe him. The state's current Attorney General, William Sorrell, tells the Associated Press he doesn't think he could legally prosecute Bush, even if he wanted to. Sorrell says, quote, the reality is, in my view, that unless the crime takes place in Vermont, then I, as the Attorney General, have no authority under Vermont law to be prosecuting the president. It's my understanding that all this guy would have to do is read Bugliosi's book, who I would assume is a better prosecutor than Mr. Sorrell, and follow the instructions. And it doesn't have to be a state's attorney general. It can be a county prosecutor. And speaking of that, have you gone to prosecutegeorgebush.com yet today? excuse me. The owner of that site, Bob Alexander, superbeans.com guy, has had to put together a form letter. Dear everybody, I'm sorry I can't respond individually to everyone who's donated so far because there are just too many of you. That's great news. And then he goes on to say that since we mentioned this on the program Wednesday night, enough money has come in to send out 283 books. He says in less than 2 days, we're 10% of the way there. I think that's incredible. I can't tell you how blown away I've been by the response. I've been thinking about putting together a kind of frequently asked questions at the website about the project. We got bogged down trying to come up with answers for questions people haven't come up with yet. So instead of a completely well-thought-out prosecutegeorgebush.com FAQ, here's a list of everything I can think of. We need to raise enough money to send 2,700 prosecutors a copy of the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder. Every dime goes for buying the books from the publisher, shipping them to my office, padded mailers and labels, a cover letter to the attorney, postage to send all the books, and the credit card processing fees. That's it. No one involved in this project will be paid. We're all volunteers on this bus. And as a personal note, stepping aside from his email, I know all three of the people involved in this. And I will guarantee you that nobody's going to take a penny out of this. Nobody. I know all three of these people involved in the prosecutegeorgebush.com. Continuing with the email, if for some bizarre reason we end up with extra money or extra books, I suggest we give the books to a library and the money to the homeless. I'm completely open to any suggestions anybody might have if that situation comes up, but that's the last decision we'll make at the end of the road we just started out on. I just want to make sure that everyone completely understands that no matter what happens with ABA, ABA Publishing, that's his company, my wife Arminda and I will not profit from this project in any way. And the other person involved, Jude, person I've met twice now in Seattle, is the third person. And then he goes on about stuff you can get at his website. This is the form letter that he's sending out. If you don't want to do PayPal, you can drop a check. I think it says here, yada, 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 yada. And then including the email, he's got the thing I just read you about the Charlotte Dennett, Progressive Party's candidate for Vermont Attorney General. So if you haven't been to this website, apparently Bob really got overwhelmed with the response. He didn't expect what was about to happen when we mentioned this the other night. And I understand Jeff Farias, that our affiliate in Phoenix, KPHX, also has been talking about this. So prosecutegeorgebush.com, that's the website. Go there and see what Bob's talking about. If you want to make a $15 contribution to buy a book and get it to a prosecutor, go ahead. If you don't, at least take a look at what they've done. I am very, very impressed, to say the least. prosecutegeorgebush.com. Okay? Just check it out and then decide what you want to do. I think it's a great idea. 2,700 prosecutors, local prosecutors, all it takes is one. Just like this woman, Charlotte, what's her name? Dennett? Charlotte Dennett in Vermont. Now, she hasn't been elected yet. So if she wins the election, okay, that's good. But there are 2,700 right now who are in office. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Into the distance, ribbon of black, stretched to the point of no turning back. Flight of fancy on a windswept field, standing alone.
21 past the hour. Government isn't the problem anymore, it's the solution. And it is national socialism. Wow. The Phil Graham part of all this is, I think, a part of the story. that is deliberately being left out. Now, that is either because media think we are too stupid to get it, which we probably are, or it's too old, you know, Phil Graham, 90s, oh, God, that's so last century, you know. But Graham is the real thug here. Let me start this. You're just going to have to keep up tonight, okay? I don't mean that in a patronizing way. I just mean I realize that things are kind of choppy on the program tonight. James Moore, writing at Huffington Post, puts it this way. Don't let them tell you this economic meltdown is a complicated mess. It's not. Our national financial crisis is really understood by anyone who has seen greed and hypocrisy, but we are now witnessing them on a profound, monumental scale. Conservative Republicans always want the government to stay out of business and avoid regulation as long as they're making lots of money. When their greed, however, gets them into a fix, they're the first to cry out for rules and laws and taxpayer money to bail out their businesses. Obviously, Republicans are socialists. The Bush administration has decided to socialize the debt of the big Wall Street firms. Taxpayers didn't get to enjoy any of the big money profits on the phony financial instruments like derivatives and bundled subprime paper, but we get the privilege of paying for their debt and their failures. Let's just consider the money. The public bailout of insurance giant AIG is estimated at $85 billion. According to one report, that's more than the Bush administration spent on aid to families with dependent children during his entire time in office. That amount of money would also pay for health care for every man, woman, and child in America for at least 6 months. How do we get here? That's pretty easy to answer, too. His name is Phil Graham. A few days after the Supreme Court made Bush president in 2000, Graham stuck something called the Commodity Futures Modernization Act into the budget bill. Nobody knew what the Texas senator was slipping America, a 262-page poison pill. The Graham Guts America Act was designed to keep regulators from controlling new financial tools described as credit swaps. These are instruments like subprime mortgages bundled up and sold as securities. Under the Graham law, neither the SEC nor the Commodities Future Trading Commission were able to examine financial institutions like hedge funds or investment banks to guarantee that they actually had the assets necessary to cover losses they were guaranteeing. This isn't small beer we're talking about here. The market for these fancy financial instruments, they don't expect us little people to understand, is estimated at $60 trillion annually, which amounts to almost four times the entire U.S. stock market. And Senator Phil Graham wanted it completely unregulated. And so did Alan Greenspan, who supported the legislation and is now running around to the talk shows jabbering about the horror of it all. Before the highly paid lobbyists were done slinging their gold card guts about the halls of Congress, everyone from hedge funds to banks were playing with fire for fun and profit. Graham didn't just make a fairy tale world for Wall Street, though. He included in his bill a provision that prevented the regulation of energy trading markets, which led us to the Enron collapse. There was no collapse of the House of Graham, however, because his wife, Wendy, who once headed the Commodities Future Trading Commission, took a job on the Enron board that provided almost $2 million to their household kitty. And why not? Wendy got a Commodities Future Trading Commission rule passed that kept the federal government from regulating energy future contracts at Enron. If John McCain gets elected and chooses Phil Graham as his Treasury Secretary, which many political types see as likely, they will be able to talk about the good old days when Graham was in Congress and McCain was in the Senate and they were in the midst of the savings and loan crisis. Now, there's more here. I'll wait until after this break, but I want you to hear it. This may or may not help me and you understand it. But Phil Gramm is the first person who should be brought to trial for the running of the most intensely criminal financial enterprise probably in the history of the world. I don't know about the internal workings of China or the old Soviet Union or some of these massive banking institutions, but as far as I know, what Gramm has done is almost single-handedly bring the whole thing down. Now, some of you say, well, that's a good, maybe a good thing, Malloy, but why should this son of a bitch walk free, huh?
Short to listen to Right Wing Radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, so James Moore at Huffington Post is trying to place blame for this where blame belongs. A lot of it falls right on the back of Phil Gramm, who really is one of the sleaziest people ever to hold public office in this country. Moore writes, if McCain does get elected and chooses Phil Gramm as his Treasury Secretary, they will be able to talk about the good old days when Gramm was in Congress and McCain was in the Senate and they were in the midst of the savings and loan crisis. The savings and loan crisis, which may look precious when compared to our present cascade of problems, isn't hard to understand either. But it is impossible to take John McCain seriously on our current financial Armageddon since he was dabbling in the historic collapse of 700 SNLs that occurred during the Ronald Reagan era. In the early 80s, under the Republican president, Congress deregulated the savings and loan industry in much the same way that Phil Gramm made sure there were no laws hindering our current financial malefactors on Wall Street. SNL simply lobbied until they had regulation, less regulation, and then began making rampant unsound investments. The guy who was going the wildest with financial freedom was Charles Keating, who headed up Lincoln Savings and Loan of California. Because the SNL industry had managed to get Congress to increase FDIC insurance from $40,000 to $100,000 on deposits, the irresponsible investing of people like Keating began to put taxpayer insurance funds at great risk of loss. Keating placed money in junk bonds and questionable real estate projects, and because so many other SNL started acting the same way, the Federal Home Loan Bank Board began to push for a regulation that limited these dangerous speculative direct investments to 10% of an SNL's assets, and Keating didn't like it. He called on a private economist named Alan Greenspan, who promptly produced a study saying that there was no danger in so-called direct investments by the SNLs. But that didn't convince the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. And as further scrutiny showed, Lincoln Savings and Loan was making even more historically bad investments, to the point that a federal investigation was launched. So Keating called his home state senator, John McCain. McCain and four other U.S. senators, known to history as the Keating Five, met with the chairman of the Federal Home Loan Banking Board. McCain had been hesitant to attend, but had reportedly been called a wimp behind his back by Keating. The message to the board from the Keating Five was to lay off Lincoln and cool the investigation. The board did not relent, but Lincoln stayed in business until 1989 when it collapsed with the rest of the SNL industry. The life savings of more than 20,000 elderly investors disappeared with the failure of Lincoln. Keating went to prison for 5 years. Charles Keating was John McCain's pal. They met in 81, and Keating dumped $112,000 in the McCain campaign bank accounts between 82 and 87. A year before McCain met with the board regulators, his wife Cindy and her father, according to newspaper reports at the time, invested about $360,000 in one of Keating's shopping centers. The Arizona Republic reported McCain and his wife and their babysitter took 9 trips on Keating's private jet to the Bahamas. The senator didn't pay Keating back for the plane rides until years later when he was under investigation. McCain wasn't found guilty of anything but bad judgment, which is an historic understatement. Republicans who led deregulation of the SNL industry delayed the bailout until after the 1988 election to make sure George Herbert Walker won the White House. The cost to taxpayers for helping these 747 bad actors in the SNL industry was finally estimated at $1.4 trillion. If the bailout had begun in 86 instead of after the election, the cost would have been contained at $20 billion. And now the Republicans who engineered our present crisis and got us into the SNL debacle of the 80s are before us saying the markets need regulation. No, actually, they don't need regulation. Why don't you Republican capitalists who believe in the free markets get out of the damned way and let them work? And allow these various financial nuthouses be crushed by the weight of their own stupidity. When it's all over, we'll have sane and sober people create laws to make sure it doesn't happen again, assuming we survive this chaos. Also, while you're handing out our tax money to idiots on Wall Street, save a little of the long green for the unemployed auto and construction workers and all the other people who have lost their jobs because you were too stupid to notice what Phil Graham was doing and you were convinced everything was going to be just fine because the markets work. These then are the people, the Republicans, who run our want to run our government for another 4 years. John McCain isn't just one of them. He rides their jets, he takes their campaign donations, he makes them his campaign advisors, and he tells us to trust him? He must think we're a nation of village idiots. Hell, maybe we are. James Moore writing at Huffington Post. By the way, the story about Biden and Hillary Clinton, the source of it, Justine sent in to me, is the worldnetdaily.com, so forget it. Anything WorldNet Daily publishes is a lie. That's a neo-Nazi page. Oh, it was a report. It was talked about on the Hannity program the other night. So, Monica, forget it. No, they're there. Forget it. It's a WorldNet Daily story. All right. Let's take some calls because you've been holding on for a long time here. Let's start with Peter, who is in Chicago listening on Sirius. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Mike, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Okay, I'm a long-time listener of yours from here in Chicago. I remember your days with WLS.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yeah, I kind of miss you from here also. Listen, you know, I'm like probably one of your best fans, and I really enjoy the fact that you put out that little piece of information that you just put out. And I was kind of wondering, have you ever, are you familiar with the documentaries by Edward Griffin about Jekyll Island and the Money Masters by Bill Stills?
No, I'm not. I don't live that far from Jekyll Island, in a manner of speaking. But no, I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
Well, if you have the time, I would highly recommend you go on YouTube or Google. You know, do a search on those and listen to it. Watch that. You can watch them in little short segments or watch the whole thing.
Okay, and what is the point?
What you will get from that is exactly why we're in the predicament we're in. And they
really
also have excellent solutions.
Oh, okay.
And these are people who've been trying to get this message out for the last 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really love that you're doing is exposing how, or reminding people how, McCain was involved in the, in the last savings and loans fiasco.
Right.
But I think what you shouldn't let those people who were complaining about you getting on the Democrats' case prevent you from also pointing out the fact of how the Democrats for the last 2 years have done absolutely nothing. And our current leaders in the Democratic Party, you know, Pelosi and Hoyer, were knee-deep in the current problems that we're in now. And now they're trying to bail out the same people who've stolen all this money from us. And we're going to give these people, bail these people out so they can foreclose our houses and raise our gas prices again with their further speculation in oil. And I don't understand the logic to that.
Well, I don't either, except I don't know that I don't know that it's logic, but I think what has happened here, Jack, is that what I've been talking about a little bit, dancing around it, I guess, a little bit tonight, is that there has been this almost incomprehensible shift that has finally occurred. It didn't occur overnight. I mean, it's been 28 years in the making, but it finally occurred, where the form of government that we have in this country now is National Socialism or corporatism. I mean, the terms are interchangeable. You can use the word fascism. You can use the shortened form of National Socialism, which is Nazism. You can use whatever term you want, but it has occurred. It has occurred. The people... The people struggling to work in this country with an actual unemployment figure hovering around 10 or 11%, forget that 6.2% nonsense that they hand you from the Department of Labor. It's close to double that. But the people who are still working in this country are the ones who are always denied the profits from these predatory bastards, but also always the ones who are told that they have to pick up the tab because this industry is too big to fail. That company is too big to fail. This a big name in a lending institution or financial services, too big to fail. We have to save it. We have to save it. And when I think about what now is in the trillions of dollars that these predatory sons of bitches are taking from us, how that could be used for national health care, for infrastructure, for a million things, I just get furious.
Look at us now. In the midst of confusion, we lost sight somehow. How?
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Right before the break, we were talking with Jack. Let's go back to Jack, who's listening on KPHX in Phoenix. By the way, this is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. Okay, where were we? California.
Okay, Southern California. Mike, in September of 2007, 10% of every resale home sales were foreclosures, where the home was sold back to the bank.
Yeah.
Now it's 45.5%.
Oh, my God.
In Riverside and San Bernardino County, it's 65.5%.
Mm-hmm.
In Orange County, which a lot of people think is very upscale, including Newport Beach, it's 33%.
Wow.
And the thing is, housing prices are dropping at 3 to 5% a month. And this is going to go on through at least 2010 to 2011. And have you ever heard of the name Meredith Whitney?
I don't think so.
Okay, she's one of the top forecasters. And she refers to something called the Case-Shiller Index, which was created by Robert Shiller about 10 years ago. And it basically is a graph of home prices. And she has indicated just 2 days ago that she expects housing prices nationwide, which have now at this point dropped 18%, she expects them to drop over 40 to 45%. This problem is going to be catastrophic. And the thing is, whatever Bernanke and Paulson told Congress yesterday, mm-hmm. he couldn't have told them exactly how bad this thing is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you something. I don't know if anybody's asked you this. Are you open to the possibility that this was done on purpose?
I don't know how it could have been. If you're talking about some kind of a group or a cartel or a small little exclusive circle of people doing this,
No, I
don't believe that. I do believe that, and I'm not sure. My beliefs change moment to moment on this issue sometimes, but I do believe that an effort was initiated back at the time of Reagan to completely end what was put in motion in the 30s by the Roosevelt administration, and it was done strictly from a greed/power standpoint, and the goal was to crash the economy, crash the entitlement economy, but to steal as much as possible in the crashing, and that in that respect. Yeah, in that respect, was it planned? But I think what happened was it spiraled out of control. I don't think even the worst greed heads, unless we're talking about the 0.01% at the very top, who live pretty much in huge jet planes, they're afraid to land anywhere for fear someone will kill them. But the huge greed heads, maybe they had some kind of if such people exist, maybe they had some kind of an overarching plan. But I think what happened simply was this attempt to steal everything that wasn't nailed down got out of hand, and as a result, the goose that continued to lay these golden eggs for these predatory bastards is now choking to death.
Well, you know, last time I talked to you, I told you that Alan Greenspan's 1977 doctoral thesis was on housing bubbles. And you've mentioned him and the fact that he, you know, was for this bill that Graham pushed, which
right.
basically modernized the commodity, you know, exchange and deregulated it and had to do with credit default swaps. But what's interesting is the Carlyle Group seems to have known that this was coming because in January 2007, William E. Conway, who was one of the top people at Carlyle Group, talked about that when this credit binge was finished, there would be a once-in-a-lifetime buying opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't doubt that, but I don't think that constitutes a conspiracy to make this collapse occur. I think what that is what Naomi Klein talks about, disaster capitalism, the ability to look at a catastrophic event and figure out ways to make money. And I think, let's supposing the stock market does tumble down to 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. From where it is right now, the companies that are left and the situation that is left probably would give. I'm just guessing here. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it probably would give investors a hell of a chance as the escalator starts back up again. But I don't know anymore. Like I said, the game has been changed because of the fact that we now live in a national socialist a society. We live in a corporatist society. The corporations that do survive are going to survive quite well, and the people who run them, the ones that tank, are just going to tank, and the rest of us are not. We're not even in the game anymore.
No, it is fascism, and
we're just not there. We're not involved. I think these elections that we continue to have is are diversions. They don't make any sense. When in a fascist society, a corporatist society, when war is needed, war is produced. It doesn't make any difference if it's liberating the poor Vietnamese or liberating the poor Iraqis or liberating the poor Panamanians, whatever it is. When war is needed, it is produced. When it's time to crash the market is crashed. When it is time to work toward black ink in the budget, black ink in the budget is produced. I don't know anymore, but I do know this. You and I are powerless.
Oh, yeah. Completely.
Absolutely. All right. I've got to leave it there. I appreciate what you had to say. Jack, you make great sense, and thanks a lot. All right. Take care. I'm going back to what Prairie 2 wrote, referencing his email from the beginning of the program. What the Fed and what the Fed decided to do last night, where the Secretary of the Treasury and the head of the Federal Reserve, everybody got together and scared the bejesus out of members of Congress. And so now we're going to the taxpayers are going to pay for all this nonsense. And Prairie 2 writes, they aren't buying us very much time either because they aren't talking about the mad elephant in the room. I'm referring to those credit derivatives they keep trying not to talk about, the ones nobody claims to understand. They understand them well enough, they just don't want to talk about them. They didn't exist until McCain and the Republicans, that would be Phil Graham, took away all the regulations that kept American companies out of Ponzi schemes like this. Worldwide, estimates are that there are between $700 trillion and $1 quadrillion dollars in unregulated markets. A quadrillion, that's 1,000 trillion. So when we're talking about $3.5 trillion going to bail out money market funds, or $85 billion to rescue AIG, this is not even lunch money. This is the kind of money then when you compare it to a quadrillion. Are we ready for that number? I don't think so. That's what astronomers use. Only they don't even use it. They use logarithms. But that number, $85 billion for AIG. It's not lunch money. It's not chump change. That's what you find behind the cushions in your living room in the couch compared to $1,000 trillion. Is there that much? There's not that much money on earth, is there? When the derivative market collapses, it will suck all the money out of the world economy so fast it'll make your ears pop. Well, I don't know. This is interesting. Ben in Phoenix writes in, Mike, how come I hear no one talking about PMI? You know, private mortgage insurance. That insurance the government makes you buy with your mortgage. Where did that go? How come that didn't bail out the crooks? Or the why didn't, you know, I asked Kathy during the break, why didn't it bail out people who were losing their homes? I don't understand PMI. We pay it here, too. We pay it. Ben writes, I know I pay it, but who's the beneficiary of it? I don't know.
Not everyone pays it, not for the duration of their loan.
Oh, it depends on your equity, home value. Well, that's crashing, so what's that mean? Everybody's going to have to start paying PMI again? Oh, Jesus. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Always having dirt to play around me. Starched white shirts, you will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around
against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Kathy writes, regarding the $5,000, he wants to give him $5,000. It's worse than that. He's going to give him a $5,000 tax credit, which means that anyone who doesn't make enough to pay $5,000 in taxes gets no relief. In addition, McCain wants to tax the health care benefits that employers provide now tax-free. Yeah, McCain is insane. He is completely out of his mind. Anna writes in, update on the McCain on health. Anna writes, it's so effing stupid that it's gone enormous on the blogosphere. Coase makes the excellent point that the key words are, as we have done, that's right, you walking to KU and Graham and all the rest of you GOP scum, you did this to it. She's referring to this sentence that I just quoted for you. Opening up, this is McCain, opening up the health insurance market to more vigorous nationwide competition, as we have done over the last decade in banking, would provide more choices of innovative products less burdened by the worst excesses of state-based regulation. You psychotic son of a bitch, tell me an excess of state-based regulation. I mean, really, not the Republican boilerplate mushmouth garbage, not something out of Sean Hannity's twisted mind or Rush Limbaugh's bloated face, but I mean, really, can anyone out there mention one government excess that has hurt, you know what I'm talking about, a regulation that has hurt the country? God, these people are just, I swear to God, I'm ready to pick up a club. Am I nuts? Roger writes, the economic meltdown happened before the election, about 40 days before the election. Maybe McCain can get over the Republican failure. Or is this the last big money grab by the invisible ruling class because they knew they will lose control with the next election? It is a might as well grab all the money we can and stick to normal Americans and move our accounts offshore before the election type of grab. Because we know we are going to lose the election, grab the money and run. Like any mere average mortal could track the $1 trillion recovery money and who ultimately benefits. Could they just actually use the waning days of this puppet administration to their advantage so they can take the money and run, make a big personal profit in the confusion? What are the chances? There already is telecom immunity. If any market immunity things start floating around, either branch of the legislative bodies, I will know I am right. Roger. I don't think they're even waiting for any kind of immunity to anything. The theft is so enormous. It is so catastrophic. It is so monumental. It is so breathtakingly beyond our ability to understand. Who's waiting around for legislation? In fact, apparently, if I believe what I read in the papers, the only legislation that's going to be passed is to bail every one of these sons of bitches out. To provide trillions, which means that, I don't know, this is where the United States, other than our nuclear arsenal, this is where we become, not a failed state, I don't think that'll happen, but this is where we end. Yeah, we have soldiers, we have a military presence in what, 130 countries, 140, 184 countries, it's some outrageous figure. And all the people who have been writing to me and maybe discussions that you've had over the past 3 or 4 years about the similarity between the American Empire and the Roman Empire, a lot of which I thought, well, you know, these emails are being written by people who are history buffs, ancient history buffs, but guess what? They were right. They're absolutely right. There's no question they're right. So this is what we get to see. This is what the U.S. has in its future. Is this too negative? Is there some way, you know, after all, the stock market was up 400 points today. Is this any, is this collapse not going to happen? If the Congress passes what Bernanke and Paulson said has to be done, legislation to throw Mount Everest's of money at this, and then the Treasury is required to print more. Our money isn't backed by anything anyway, except the faith in full faith and credit of the U.S. government. But the U.S. government is bankrupt. I mean, seriously, I'm so goddamn lost with this. I don't know which way is up. Some of you have been real patient in sending me emails to try to explain all this. And that thing I read, James Moore thing in Huffington Post, very, very patient explanation. But, you know, I don't consider myself to be a stupid man. I don't consider myself to be an uninformed American. And I have no idea what has happened here. and just how horrifyingly serious this is. I simply can't get my mind around it. I can't do it. Maybe that's a good thing.
Well, that qualifies you to be president.
We'll be back after the break, and we're just going to take your phone calls. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Hollis is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Hollis.
Hello.
Hey. Hollis?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling because I think that the snippet you played from McCain about people like Obama gaming the system is as much a racist statement as Welfare Queen. I think McCain is down. That's his last quiver, your last arrow in the quiver.
I'd like to find racism in that because I hate all Republican office holders, especially McCain, but I don't see racism. I see McCain as trying to lay off responsibility on Obama as one more example of everything that comes out of McCain's mouth now is a lie. I think Karl Rove's people have told him, you don't have a chance unless you use terror, fear, lies, distortions, so use it all. And I think that's what McCain's doing. But I don't see racism in it, Hollis.
Well, when he says gaming the system.
Right.
Who games the system? We know who games the system. We know that 60% of the subprime borrowers were black. The fact that they're going to lose their shirts doesn't mean that they can't game the system.
Well, they weren't gaming the system. They were told here's a way to buy a house. I think gaming the system applies to the Caucasians who infest the financial markets. In order to game the system, you have to have access to the system. About 95% of us in this country, black and white, have no access to the system. The only people who really have access to the system to game it are mega wealthy Caucasians or Caucasians who have gotten themselves into positions of power in places like, oh, pick a name, Bear Stearns, Fannie Mae, whatever, and then use their insider knowledge to steal and pillage and loot. A person of color who bought a house with a 5.5% mortgage for the first 3 years that would then adjust to a 10% mortgage was not gaming the system, Hollis. Not in any sense of that I'm familiar with. A Caucasian or a person of color who didn't have a standard 10, 15, 20% down and who phonied up their application because the loan officer at the lending institution said it's okay, you can stretch the... I don't call that gaming the system, not the person borrowing the money to get the house. The loan officer, the filthy, putrid, lying, son of a bitching loan officer, was gaming the system. So, no, I don't think let me rephrase it. I know that black folk weren't trying, as a group, weren't trying to game the system. And see, I think, Hollis, maybe you're doing what a lot of us Caucasians do, and that is looking at black folk as like all the same. You know, there's some master plan. Let me tell you something, and this is the truth. Honest to God, Hollis, I swear this is true. Black folk don't have a big meeting someplace every night after all the Caucasians are in bed where they decide what they're going to do the next day in order to get over on Whitey. They really, I'm not trying to be sarcastic with you, I don't think, but that meeting never occurs. You know, white people, every time an African-American does something, white people say, damn, isn't that just like those N-word, you know, then they say the N-word. Isn't that just like the, right? You know that. Come on, be real, just for a minute, then we'll get back to being crazy. Be real. But for the most part, when black people see a white person do something, they don't immediately say, isn't that just like Caucasians, man? Black folk will hold individuals responsible in a situation like that, whereas Caucasians will try to condemn the whole, you know, the entire group. And so, I'm not trying to get nasty or funky with you or anything, Hollis. I'm not. I swear to God, I'm not. But there is no meeting held every night at 2 o'clock in the morning where all the colored folk get together and decide what kind of a scam they're going to pull the next day on Whitey. It doesn't happen. You got to trust me on that. David is calling from St. Augustine, listening on XM. Hey, David.
Hello. How you doing tonight, Mike and Kev?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, very good. It's starting to rain here. Listen, I think your race analysis there was right on the mark. What I called to talk about, though, is I just wanted to say thank you first. Your parody of right-wing Caucasian Southerners and especially neo-rebs is priceless and infinitely entertaining, and it has me in stitches quite a few nights. So
well, good.
I love it.
Glad to hear that.
I love it. And listen, you know, you hold up a Bible, and it seems like 90% of the population south of the Mason-Dixon line, and I think I can say this because I'm a native-born Southerner, mm-hmm. You know, they start salivating like Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah, and that's the truth.
And then you hold up a picture of an aborted fetus, and they will vote with that over their own bread and butter, pocketbook, wallet, economic interest. It's crazy.
It is.
But you know what? Something that struck me interesting is you know who H.L. Mencken is? He was the acerbic journalist at the Baltimore Sun from. Well, he was born in 1880, died in 1956, mm-hmm. but I guess his heyday was in the 20s. But anyway, he wrote this about the Scopes trial, and you see if this doesn't sound like a Sarah Palin rally. So it shows we haven't evolved as a species, at least down here in the South, for 85 years.
How long is this?
It's not long. It's about two paragraphs.
Too long. I just don't have the time for it, David.
Okay.
I really don't. We're just flat run out of time. But I think most of the people who listen to this program are real familiar with Mencken, and I love what he used to write. I just absolutely, his take was priceless. David, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. We're just flat running out of time here. Mark is calling from Louisville, listening on Sirius. Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I just wanted to see if I got this straight on what's going on. So we're going to use taxpayer money to bail out institutions that have screwed up lending money so they can lend more money?
I don't know what I've said about six times tonight, Mark. I don't understand any of this. I don't know what it is we're bailing out. I don't know what the 3.5 trillion is going to go for in the money market funds. I don't know where the money's gone. I have no idea why the mortgage market collapsed. Why? Because a couple hundred thousand people couldn't pay their bills? That's been going on forever. I don't get any of this. I really don't. I'm completely ignorant about this stuff. I need to listen to Tom Hartman's program. Huh?
I just have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you see this all playing out?
Disaster. The train wreck. Absolute disaster. How do I see us recovering from this? Right? Yeah. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, like how do you see like a brief history of like what might happen in the next 10 years?
Well, I think if anybody comes into power in this country with the sense God gave a sack of doorknobs at this point, we will do away with the kind of capitalism, national socialist capitalism we've had in this country, and have a mixed economy. There has to be some key industries that are controlled totally and completely by the government, which means us. But that means we're going to have to elect people who have some sense, that we never ever again would elect a Richard Shelby or if she gets in, a freak like Sarah Palin, or people who understand the how to govern. Not people who respond to lobbyists. I think we ought to round up all the lobbyists except the ones that work for social good and shoot them. I'm in a real murder mood tonight. I really am. I want people dead. I want to see bodies laying around on the streets. I want to see the people who have done this just grabbed, just randomly grabbed as they come out of buildings and immediately shot. That's the kind of mood I'm in. Oh, God, this is going to wind up on YouTube, and some right-wing son of a bitch is going to say, "Listen to this crazy, murderous Malloy!" I want to see justice, is what I'm trying to say. And it comes out for, you know, and the odd part is all the right-wingers who just love capital punishment, it gets them sexually aroused when they hear that somebody else has been executed, they love it. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, where untold millions of people are just being destroyed economically. Oh, well, let's bail them out. I don't know what's being bailed out. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that in societies where retribution, not justice, but retribution is quick at hand, the people who have done this to this economy would be dead by morning, and justifiably so. Before the hour, two things I'd like you to do this weekend, if Uncle Mike may make a request. First of all, go to prosecutegeorgebush.com and check out the website and see if you want to participate in what Bob Alexander is doing. Bob and two other people. Prosecutegeorgebush.com. Please do that for me. The second thing, the request I would make is to check out NovaMRadio.com, Founders Club members, $10 a month, $100 a year. There's a lot that comes with your membership, and not the least of which is you will make sure that Nova M Radio and this program and Randy Rhodes' program stays on the air. All right? NovaMRadio.com. And check out how you become a Founders Club member. If you would do those two things for me this weekend, I'll be eternally grateful. Thanks to the crew who, once again this week, somehow managed to get this show on the air, either by dint of their technical expertise or just their thought processes. Ian Hoff, Billy Foster, Ben Burt, Sharon Cordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget with Catherine Bay as the executive producer. Sue has sent me something here that, Beth, I'm sorry, Beth. Hi, Mike. Ravi Batra, professor of economics at SMU. Most of us are familiar with that name, right? Ravi Batra. And someone whose predictions generally have been accurate regarding economic trends said that this large infusion of money to the various financial institutions will get the U.S. through the next couple of months at most. Batra says that we will be in for hyperinflation starting next year, since the Fed will be reduced to printing mass amounts of money. The U.S. doesn't produce anything anymore, so like Weimar Germany of the 30s, we will just keep printing more and more worthless paper. Batra said the large remedy for all this would be to raise the minimum wage to $10 to $14 an hour, which, he says, will never happen. Marge is calling from Indiana, listening on her telephone. Hey, Marge.
Well, good evening, Michael. Have you got your Jack Black handy? I mean, after today's goings on.
Well, no, I'm drinking red wine now because I'm looking for the benefit from the antioxidant qualities. But I do have
You're going health conscious on me, are you?
Oh, always have been. But you know, except occasionally when I will overindulge in Jack Daniels and just get wiped out. No, I never do that. I say that a lot, but I'm a responsible parent and a decent husband, and no, I don't do that. I just
very good. Well, it sounds good anyway.
But I am having a glass of Viage. What is this, Kathy?
Red wine.
Yeah, red wine. Yeah, it's a good red wine. Beaujolais Viage.
Very good. My favorite. I like the dry wines, and Chianti, you know, goes about with anything, so.
Yeah, it does.
Anyhow, did you happen to hear his nibs this morning when he was making all his pronouncements?
No.
The words coming out of his mouth.
You're talking about Bush or McCain?
Yeah.
Bush.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Bush.
Yeah.
I was listening to that and to what he was saying,
yeah.
And he came across a phrase, and I says, he said that, didn't he? And I was arguing with him. Did he say that? Yeah, he said that. People were doing something on Wall Street that they shouldn't be doing would be caught and persecuted.
Persecuted.
Not prosecuted, but persecuted. So the idiot does believe in torture.
Well, he is a dumbass. You know that, Marge.
Well, once again, we just prove it. But if you've got audio of that speech, you can go back and find it. It's sort of early on.
Yeah, we may get some of that over the weekend. Although, you know, Kathy will spend a lot of time putting the sound together, and then before the show, we'll kind of review what we've got, throw this one out, maybe expand on that one. And I'll tell you, it's just getting to the point where my teeth start to grind. You know, what is that TMJ stuff that people
get? Oh, God, yes. That's painful.
Yeah, where they grind their jaws,
mm-hmm.
And normally they do it when they're asleep or something. That's what I've heard. I start to do that when I'm listening. I can't stand their voices. Are you over Sarah Palin's voice or what?
Oh, God. Oh, please. But it was someplace around money markets and selling short. But the other thing that he was stressing so vehemently this morning was the urgent need to pass this legislation. We don't have time for add-ons and all these other amendments and whatnot. We got to do it right now. Does that sort of sound like Homeland Security?
It sounds like just about everything that Bush wanted and tried to stampede the American public into giving him whatever he wanted, and the Democrats, and we've done it for 8 years. We've done it.
Yeah, do it now. Don't ask questions. Read it later and, you know, act in haste and repent in leisure, and that's just tough nookies. And, you know, and in another 4 months, I'll be out of here. But, well, I mean, you know.
You mean Bush. I thought you meant you were going somewhere.
No, him. Please, God. Somebody put him on a raft and take him away.
I hear you.
But I'm thinking that, you know, these candidates are so damn good at raising money. Let them raise the money to pay for these damn bills.
But what we're talking about here in raising money is, you know, $100 million to buy the presidency. $100 million is chump change. It's lunch money. It's what you leave as a tip, Marge, for the amounts they're talking about. Hey, listen, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Marge. Take care. Take care. Have a good weekend.
I will personally buy someone a founding member annual pass, if you want to call it membership, if anybody out there listening right now can tell me one thing the Department of Homeland Security does other than just suck money out of us taxpayers and government as a whole. What do they do?
The massive
bureaucracy.
Harassment. It's only harassment. It's to get everybody used to just sitting quietly. Listen, have a great weekend, okay? I mean, really, do something fun. Fall is breaking out here in the South, here in Atlanta area, so I know what I'm going to be doing. Take care. Keep it lit. Kevin Kinney, have a great weekend wherever you are. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.